2, verse 136. So let's read God's word this morning. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so I will keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not my law. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the day. Thank you so much for this beautiful sunshine that we have this morning. Thank you so much for a full house this morning. I'm so grateful for your people faithful to your house this morning. Well, we do know that there are others that are ill this morning that could not make it this morning. Maybe there are some that need your strength today as well. We just pray, Lord, you bless each one. Lord, would you put your hand upon them and healing upon them and give them mercy and comfort today as well. Lord, be with our missionaries today as they preach your word all over the country. And I pray, Lord, you bless them. Lord, bless our message this morning. May it speak to our hearts. Lord, there may be one here today that's never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They've never called by him repentance for their sins. Lord, just pray, Lord, that before they leave this place, they make sure their salvation. Speak to our hearts this morning. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing in honor of God's word. Did everybody hear when we were reading the reading? So I had a loud enough voice. That's good. All right. Some people wish I turned it off anyway. I'm kidding about that, of course. You know, we like benefits. We like benefits. If we have a car, we like cars with extra horsepower. I like cars with extra horsepower. Usually if it has a turbo on it, it's nice. If you can get an extra turbo on it, it's even better. And then if you put some ram air on it, it makes it even faster. And then before you know it, you've wrecked it. But we like benefits. We shop for credit cards with the best benefits. What can provide you with the best benefits? We seek for jobs that have the best benefits. We seek for jobs that offer health care and maybe vacation pay, sick time, all of those kind of things. We seek for travel, and however we travel, we seek for maybe that hotel that has the best amenities and things like that, the best kind of free breakfast. I'm down for hotel free breakfasts. Even if I don't eat breakfast, if it's free for breakfast, I'm getting up, eat the breakfast, and then go back to bed. Because if it's not really free, y'all. You paid for it. So you might as well eat what's there for you. And so I like to do that as well. We like the benefits. We like to have friends with benefits as well. I like friends with fast cars because then I can get to ride in their fast car. I like friends with lots of guns because then they have the ammo that we can shoot and waste. I like friends with that live in beautiful places, because you can go and see those places. We like to have friends with things like that. And it seems like the more off it is, the better we are. But there are many things to do and experience here on this earth. Aren't you glad you live in the United States of America? I'm glad to live here. I've lived in foreign countries. I've lived in at least 2 foreign countries. I've visited 5 or 6 others. I've been able to be all over the world. And I tell lots of different people when they begin to complain about America, go live in any other country for a year or two. Then you will love to come back to the United States. Sure, we have our problems, but there are benefits. There are opportunities here that aren't in any other place. But more than that, there's beauty here in the United States of America. There's beauty right here in Arizona, being able to see some of the things. God has given us a great many benefits, and really all one has to do is drive from one side of America to the other, really to enjoy the wonder and beauty of God's creation. He's given us many benefits. One of the joys of being a missionary for my wife and I was traveling and going to different churches, but while we were there, we didn't just visit the church, we visited the area and looked at some different things and got to see much of the country. You know, the rest of the world is filled with just as many experiences and places, but I love this place that God has given to us. But God has also allowed man to create many things that are fun experiences that can give memories for a lifetime. As you notice, I like to go fast. I like to get in these things called roller coasters, and the faster and higher they are, the better they are.
I love it. I love it. There's a roller coaster in Cedar Point, Ohio. It's so tall that when you're at the top of the top of the top and it goes down, by the time you get to the bottom, you're going 95 miles an hour. It's at a 92 degree grade. Oh my goodness. If you sit on the back of the train and it goes over the edge, woo, it's fun stuff. Fun stuff. Fun stuff. I love those kind of things. I love to experience those kind of things. And I love to be able to go do those kind of things. I mean, it's great to go up to the camp, to youth camp, and be able to experience the beauty of Arizona at the same time as I'm preaching and getting around young people and seeing them give their hearts and life to God. There's nothing greater than that. But however, for all of the beauty and wonder that's all around us and the experiences that we can experience and the things that God allows us to create and to make and to build and all those things, what we contain in our hands outshines them all. And the portion of our scripture this morning, Psalms chapter 119, and this verse, and really if you have your Bible, and most people have their Bibles where they're all divided out, and every single one of these verses in Psalms are all divided out by 8 verses, and each one of these really is a verse of one long song. Psalms 119 is one long song. Aren't you glad that Brother Rick has not had us sing Psalms 119? We'd be here a while. But each one of these is a verse of Psalms 119. And the writer of Psalms 119 begins to really focus, and this verse begins to really focus on the Word of God and the benefits of it and the beauty of it and the greatness of it. And of all of the things that we can experience in this world and of all the things that you can see and do, you know, there's nothing greater than spending some time in God's Word. Holding the precious, pure Word of God. There's nothing quite like it. And this section of Psalms 119 is a great explanation of just exactly how great and wonderful the Word of God is to every willing believer. I just want you to understand, for me, for this church, the King James Bible is the pure, preserved, inerrant, infallible Word of God. We hold that here, and this Bible is very precious to me, and I've been raised in a military home. My dad retired from the Air Force 27 years. Both of my brothers did tours in Iraq. My grandpa, both of my grandparents served in the war, in World Wars, on ships in the Navy, and I've been in military life my whole life, and so I have a great affinity, a great love for my flag. It represents my country. I love my flag. And one thing you never do to the flag is what? Well, burn it, sure. But more basic than that, you never let it touch the ground. Why? For me, the flag represents the sacrifice that people have made for me to be able to experience this wonderful country, the freedom that I have this morning to sit and do. You understand, there are lots of places in the world that don't have the freedom that we have right now to sit freely and openly to worship and preach God's Word. We had a missionary in Iraq, and he came to our church. He was a missionary in Iraq, and every Sunday they had to post guards on the street corners and on top of the street. Every car that came through, they would all have to hit the deck. As far as I know, it's a car bomb coming to blow their church up, but the church house was full. Thank God you don't have to do that this morning. And it's because of men and women who have sacrificed, and that flag represents that. And millions have died so that I can have the freedom on this in this beautiful place and this beautiful place. But even more important than that is God's Word. You know, there's far more people that have died for this than have ever died for your country. To make sure that you have a copy and a place and be able to hold it within your hand. I've been in a foreign country. I've given out Bibles to people that have never seen one before. I've given pages of the Word of God to people that have revered it and held it within their hands. And knowing probably that's the only portion of the Word of God that they will ever receive, because it's very expensive and hard to get in those places. And so the Word of God is so pure and precious to me. I will never let my Bible touch the ground. If you'll see my Bible, I'll always have a piece of paper underneath of it before I'll set it down. I'll help you out. It's a pet peeve when I see the Bible on the ground. We won't let the flag touch the ground. Yet this is far more precious than the flag. And yet so many people just kind of flop it on the ground. and just not have it there. But the Bible says here in Psalms, I want us to look and maybe get a desire and maybe see our Bible brand new and see how the writer viewed the Word of God and how much of a blessing it was to him. And so I want us to see that this morning, and Lord willing, at the next opportunity, we're going to preach through these verses, and we're going to get through a couple of them this morning and even then tonight as well. But look there in verse number 29. First of all, we see the wonderful testimonies. Look how it's described here. Thy testimony. Testimonies are, what's that word there? Somebody say it out loud to me. They are wonderful. This word wonderful means adapted to excite wonder or admiration. Exciting, surprise, astonishing. We have not yet had the opportunity to go to the Grand Canyon, but I've seen it on Google Earth. And it's about the same. No, it's not. But I've been to some places. I've been to some nice places before. And have you ever been to somewhere and you just saw it and it almost just like took your breath away? You just saw it. Just, you thought to yourself, wow, the beauty of it. We used to do men and boys campouts at other church, and we'd go up and we went up on the rim and we camped out up on the rim, and it's so dark up there you can see the Milky Way, and if you sit there calm enough and still enough, you can see a few shooting stars, and you can go over and you can see this the mountain of stars, and you just think to yourself, wow. It's just amazing, the wonder that's there. I mean, grandparents, we're looking forward to the day. Miss Orson's already getting her, she's already getting her ticket and everything booked up for when the baby's born. But don't you remember when you held your first baby, when you held your first grandbaby, and you just had that wonder, and here's life within your hands, and here's a new opportunity. Here's a soul that will one day trust in Christ, their Lord and personal Savior, maybe serve the Lord. I mean, it's wonderful. Of all the things that you can see in this world, and there's the wonders of creation, there's wonders of new birth, there's wonders of family experiences, and I just remember when Ashley got married, and I opened that door to my office. There's my baby girl. It's just like, wow, it's wonderful. God gave me a godly girl to marry to a okay guy. I'm kidding, of course. I'm kidding. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I mean, of all those things, and imagine as the writer's thinking about the words of the Lord, and as he reads them, and the Bible says the testimonies of the Lord are wonderful. This word testimony, it's a legal term, meaning it's testimony. Hopefully you've never been to court before. Some of y'all are chuckling like, been there, done that. And you've had to give testimony before, meaning that my testimony could affect a jury to make a decision for or against. It's a legal term, meaning it's something that is factual. It's something that means something. It has weight within his testimony. And so God, and so the writer is helping us understand the words of the Lord, the testimonies of God are wonderful. Have you ever just taken the time to just read the Bible? There's some amazing stories in here. I would have teenagers always tell me, oh, the Bible's boring. The Bible's just so boring. Really? There's a story about a lady who tricked a guy to come into his tent, and she nailed him to the ground. And the Bible says it took one blow. That was a lady who knew how to nail. She nailed him to the ground, and I love how the Bible describes it. And so he died. That's awesome stuff. It's all in here. Don't you love it when you read, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you're going through difficult times, going through hard times, and everybody will, and you can open the Bible, and they're wonderful. They're precious. They're wonderful. I mean, think about what the Bible gives us. The Bible says, it shows you, and God uses the Word of God to show you how He provides for you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. This is where we learn how Jesus shed His blood and died on the cross and gave us everlasting life. His words are wonderful. He gives to us everlasting life. It's through the Word of God, First and Second Thessalonians, that He's coming back for us. Aren't you glad for that today? As bad as it gets here, we got heaven to look forward to. Where do you know about that? From the Word of God. It's wonderful. You see, your Bible is filled with so many more wonderful testimonies that it would be impossible to list them all. If you look at the very end of the book of John, John says, I can't even write them all down. Because if I wrote everything down, the books would cover the entire earth. I couldn't write everything down that was so wonderful about it. And so look what it says in our Bible. Verse number 129, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. That word therefore, it means that we want to do something because of. It means for this reason or consequently. So we see, first of all, the wonderful testimony. Second of all, we see the promise to keep them. This word keep here means to guard, to protect, to maintain, to preserve, or as an example, a safe, or really within a hold within a castle is some place where you can keep it safe and secure. And if you'll notice in our text here, he's not going to do it because of a sense of duty or a sense of responsibility, as in somebody's just forcing him to do so. It's not that it's a chore that he's being required to do so. But I want you to understand here, you see, the writer has such a love and affection for this word of God that he wants to keep it by choice. I love this so much, therefore I'm going to keep it. Therefore I'm going to guard it. Therefore I'm going to obey it. Therefore I'm going to do what it says. Why? Because I love it so much. Have you ever thrown away a Bible? I've never thrown a single one of my Bibles away. Why? Because I love them. They're precious. It's the Word of God, and therefore I want to keep it. We know 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's a commandment from God. God says, read your Bible. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, that is for kings and princes to read the Bible daily. And we are kings and princes with God. We are His children. He desires and demands us and requires us. He wants us to read the word of God, but He wants us to not do it because I made you do so. I want you to do it because so much. You love it. How many of you guys love your wives? All right, preacher, you're going to need to open up you a session. But you know what? The Bible says, commands me to love my wife. He commands me to love my wife. I don't have an option. These folks just say, well, I just fell out of love with my wife. You're being disobedient to God's command. God says, husbands, love your wives. That's a command from God. God didn't ask you to fall out. He said, you love your wives. But you know what I do? I love her because I like her. And I want to be around her. I want to spend time with her. These people that take vacations apart from each other, that's just weird to me. I take vacations with my wife because I like her. I love her. She's precious to me. She's mine. Therefore, I want to spend more and more time with her. I want to keep her. I want to guard her. Guys, if you want more guns, tell your wife you love her and you got to keep her safe. That's what I got for Father's Day. I'll show you my pictures. I got two of them for Father's Day. Woo, I just need some volunteers to fill them up. Because unless I throw it at them, don't do no good. Love it. So this is the writer said. The writer said, I mean, I looked in the Word of God. It was wonderful. It was precious to me. Because I love it so much, I'm going to keep it with all of my heart. I'm going to guard it. Not because I have to. Not because I'm commanded to. Not because it's a rule. Not because anything else. Because He wants to. He does it out of a desire. He says that the testimonies of the Lord are wonderful. Therefore doth my, therefore doth my soul keep them. This is an active thing. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to do it. It's almost out of a desire. It's almost like an addiction for Him. I want to take hold of it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13 says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. It's almost as if I can't get enough of it. I read it and I want some more and I want some more. I want some more. So we see those wonderful testimonies. We see the promise to keep them. Thirdly, verse 130. The entrance of thy words, the wonderful testimonies, giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The third thing we see here is the subsequent light. In the Bible times, and it's really, I love how the church here has these windows up high. And in its traditional home of the biblical time in these eras, they didn't have big broad windows like we do in America today. Our house has an extra wide sliding door on the back. They didn't have those kind of windows in those kinds of houses of those days. They would have high strategic windows similar to what we have here. I love this. This fits right into this illustration perfectly. And they're strategically placed so that when they build the house, as the sun rises and comes up in the east, it will shine through. And typically they'd have at least one window so that when the sun shone in the house, it shone to the front door, so that when an entrance or a person entered into the house, they had direct sunlight, and it was strategically placed on purpose so that when you came in the house, you had light to be able to see where you were going. It wasn't just a light just to let sunlight in. It was placed on purpose to light your way into the house, and then as the sun would set, the other light on the other side would be strategically placed to then light the house, because traditionally once a certain point happened, they weren't really letting people in and out of the house anymore, but now you would need house light to light the house. So windows were placed strategically so that light was always illuminating the important places and the important places to be within that house. What does God say? Thy word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. God says, I want the word of God to be strategically placed within your life. So it'll show you where to go. It'll show you the steps to take. But not only that does the light do, not only does it show you where to go and where not to go, it also reveals the sin. It points out direction, yes, and it illuminates the obstacles, and it'll help us to see the shortest, safest route throughout the home. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5 through 6, then thou shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Not only does that light, and it's wonderful to be able to see and to be able to know where to go, but it also points out the sin, and it eliminates that opportunity to hide those things, and it illuminates the dust and the dirt. It helps us to be able to see what to get rid of. In our text, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It points out where to go. We used to play a game with our teenagers. And we had a gym. We had a fellowship hall. And so we would just set up a bunch of just random chairs all over everywhere. And we'd blindfold one teenager. And we would make him run, or her, run through that obstacle course and try to, whoever could hit the less stuff was the winner. On the other end of it was another teenager, and they had to tell that teenager, tell the friend or whoever, how to get through that maze so that they didn't hit it. And we had some teenagers that were facetious, and so there's one chair left, and they said, go for it, go straight. Of course, they'd run right into the chair and spill everywhere, and we'd all laugh and have a good time. But that's how a lot of Christians are going through life, without the Word of God. They're running full on, headlong, into the world without the flashlight, without a light to shine their way. And here the writer understood, the Word of God, it's so precious and it's so wonderful, and I'm going to keep it within my heart and life. But not only does it make me to see the things that I can get better, it tells me where to go within life. How many of you have to get up at night to get a snack? Okay, I'm the only one sometimes, I guess. All right. How many of you have to get up in the middle of the night for things other than getting a snack? All right, there we go. Remember my demographic. How many of you know your house by heart? And yet, how many of us stub our toe every night to hit that stuff? And we didn't move it that we know of. We need light. Whether we put a nightlight out, whether we shine a little flashlight, maybe we flip the bathroom light on or something like that. Why? So that we can see. So we can know where to go. Even if it seems familiar, even if it seems like we've done this before, we still want light. But isn't it amazing how many Christians are running through life in the dark? They have their Bible for Sunday, but then after Sunday morning, it goes into a drawer, sits on top of the desk, sits in a car, sits somewhere else, and the next time the pages are even turned are the next Sunday morning. And yet we run through life totally disregarding the most precious, most valuable thing that we possess. It's just a weekend thing. Most of us have no idea that there are people that will willingly die to get a page of the Word of God. To just have a page of the Word of God. And many of us probably have Bibles stacked everywhere. And yet the only time we read them is on Sunday morning when a preacher reads a few verses to us. And our flashlight is basically just sitting in the drawer. How can we say, I'm going to keep the Word of God and have the preciousness of it and desire it, and yet we leave it? Here the writer is saying, it gives my understanding under the simple. This word simple here, it just means seducible, foolish, but sincere. It gives a picture of a young man to a wise man. It's a picture, it's not being degrading. It's just a man that just doesn't have any information, doesn't have any knowledge. He's not saying I'm dumb or I'm ignorant. He's just, I need someone to show me the way. I need someone to show me what to do. Aren't you glad that you've never had a surgery and the surgeon's standing there and somebody hands him a knife and he goes, what do I do with this? Anybody got a YouTube video? We don't want that. We want somebody before they cut us to have studied something somewhere so that when he cuts it and he looks in there, he doesn't go, huh, what's that? Some of us used to know how to work on cars. And now we lift the hood and we go, huh, what's that? And so we take it to somebody who knows what they're doing. There's too many of God's people who don't know enough about this. And we're still simple. Really, the Bible says Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthians and he says, every time I've come to you, I've had to continually preach the Word of God like your babes in Christ, and I can't give you the strong meat of the Word of God. I can't preach the Word to you. I can't really give you some deep substance from the Word of God because every time I come, you haven't grown. You're still simple. You haven't taken the time to really get in your Bible. You haven't really made it a part of your life. You haven't really made it become precious to you, and it hasn't become something that's part of your life so that every time I come to preach, I have to just preach simple little sermons. Why? Because they're not able to bear it. They're not able to grow. They're not able to absorb it. They're not able to take it in. They're not able to be able to do the things that they ought to do. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, God promises to us an open door to light our way. To those that are lost, the door of the Word of God is the light. But so long as we keep our Bible shut, the light is off. You could be in a dark room and hold a flashlight, but it doesn't do you any good to you. Turn it on. Open the Word of God. Can I challenge you? When's the last time you read the Bible through? All the way from cover to cover. Took the time to read the Bible. You know why a lot of people don't have a smile on their face? They didn't read their Bible. I had a professor in college. He could look to us. We'd get up, man. We had a class. Our first class was at 7:30 in the morning. I don't know why, but it was at 7:30 in the morning. And he'd sit in that class and he'd go, you didn't read your Bible, you didn't read your Bible, you didn't read your Bible this morning, and you didn't read your Bible this morning. Because you can tell when you've been in the Bible. My friends today, these testimonies are wonderful. They're better than anything else you will read. I love what the preacher said. He said some good things at camp. One of the things he said at camp was, aren't you tired of people being mean to you on the internet? You know how you can solve that? Get off the internet. You know you can't really be bullied online. I can never be bullied online. You know why? I'm not online. You can say as much as you want about me wherever you are. I'll never know. But I certainly want to be in here. Certainly want to be in God's Word. Certainly want to be close to God, because these are wonderful. And the King James Bible, preserved, pure, precious, inerrant, infallible Word of God, is precious to me. I'm going to keep it with all my heart. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. First and most important question today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? The Bible says in John 3:3, Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There is only one way to heaven. And I tell my friends today, the precious Word of God shows you and states that you can have a home in heaven. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, by being born again to be saved. My friends, if we knew Jesus Christ, our Lord, personal Savior, the Word of God would become precious to you.